was in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. I'm glad today that I'm an American. I'm glad today that the United Congress met the first time and they began to, when this country became a free country, they voted to see what language that they would speak in this country. And by one vote only, this country carried that we would speak English instead of German. They didn't want to speak English because they just fought an English war, and many of the people were Germans, settled by a lot of German people. And they decided by one vote in Congress that they would speak the English language. I'm glad they did. I have a Bible. It's the Word of God. You say, Brother Wood, I've read the other translations, and they're just not like my Bible. I praise God for an English King James Bible. Are you that radical, Brother Wood? Oh, yes, I'm that radical. I really am. I love the Bible. I thank God that my children were born in this land, that they could read this Bible and go to a good independent Baptist church and be reared up and know what the real faith is. And they could hear what their fathers believed instead of through the ears of some modernists. I've heard men defame every old character that we had, old men that started this country. Founding fathers from George Washington right on down. I've heard them take him apart. And men like J. Edgar Hoover in our day. And I've seen them take these men apart. And you'd never find anybody would speak bad against John Kennedy or Ted Kennedy. In our day and time, nobody said anything. Back in the days of Washington, those men, we find out in the Bible that there were 12 great patriarchs. And God sent them to build a land. And they went in there and built the land of Israel. But those men were not perfect men. They believed in a perfect God and had a faith in a holy God. And these men went in. But if you study the life of each one of these men, Joseph and Jacob, and each one of these men, Reuben, unstable as water. Amen? When you study their lives, you find out God never had a perfect man until he had Christ. And when he sent Christ, he was a perfect man. But our forefathers were great men. I thank God for that. I thank God for their loyalty and their patriotism and their love for the country and also their hatred for the kings and the tyrants who would be overbearing to rule the land. They knew it wouldn't work. But the Bible says here in the 7th chapter, then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and father, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. And he said unto him, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, come into the land which I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land where he now dwelt. And he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him when as yet he had no child. He said God promised Abraham this land. And back in 1908, Dr. Schofield wrote his notes in the Schofield Bible. And he said the Jews are going back into the land in 1908. And the world laughed and made fun of I've said in the Bible classes in college, and they would laugh at Dr. Schofield. But the laugh is all over. In 1948, the land of Israel run up the flag, and she was back in business. And it'll be in business till the king comes. Amen. And nation after nation it rose up and come against that little country. And the world could not explain it. And somehow or another, that same thing happened to America. The finding of our country was just like the children of Israel wandering, looking for the promised land. And there were some people who had been exiled because of religion. If you wonder why, as you read the men who sit on when they draw up the Constitution of the United States, And if you want to find out why nobody died, I'm not telling you anything. Go home and read for yourself. There wasn't nobody that was a Catholic or nobody of them Asian religions or anything. What nobody owned them 55 men, because that's what run those men into Holland. And then from Holland into America, that's why they came. They came for religious freedom. And they came down to the New England states and built this great country. The finding of this great country. But we read here, God spake on this wise in verse 6, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, that they should bring them into bondage and entreat the evil 400 years. And the nation whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. After that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave them a covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him the 8th day. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. Now, we find Abraham was not a perfect man. Remember when he lied about his wife? Remember Isaac was just like his daddy. He lied about his wife. And we find out that Jacob wasn't perfect, that he was just a human being. And he was a supplanter. But the Bible said in verse 9, and the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Isn't that strange that God was with him? And now, as far as I'm concerned, he was a sorry lot. Amen. God doesn't hide anything about Jacob. But hey, God had an ordained plan. And it wasn't for the individual soul, but for the nation of Israel. And when our forefathers came to this country and landed here, way back yonder when they did, when they came here and discovered finding this country in the 1400s, they came here. The Spaniards discovered this country, Columbus did, being an Italian, but flying under the flag of Spain. He came here and discovered this country. Then they began to explore this country and found out they was in a vast land and a mighty land. Then they began to come and settle this land. And in the 1700s, when the war broke out, after 100 and something years, then the war broke out. And when it did, there was only 3 million people who lived in this land. Only 3 million. Now, get it, please. There was 900,000 Scotch-Irish. Brother Wood, why were there so many Scotch-Irish? They had been driven out of their land because of religious persecution. The Church of England and the Catholic Church said, this is what you're going to do. And they said, we're not going to bow. Now, all you got to do is read the history, honey. That's all you got to do, and watch the blood run under them great wars that they had there. And these people run. They were saved people. A lot of preachers was in the lot. And they run from religious persecution, which is always the most severe. And when they run from that, there was 900,000 Scotchmen. There were 600,000 Puritans. 600,000. That's them people that you read in them books about. They were legalistic. In other words, they didn't want you working on the Lord's Day. They didn't want you drinking liquor and whooping your wife. And if you did, they put you in jail. And that's where you need to be today for doing the same thing. Amen. Amen. That's right. You say, what would you do if you had power? Do the same thing they did. Amen. Since they got the power, what do they do? They just live like the devil and rot your country down. Amen. All right. But there was that was 600,000 Puritans, and many of those Puritans saved, born-again people. And where the problem came in is when them 600,000 Puritans began to have children, and those children began to have children. Before you knew it, a lot of those Puritans wasn't saved. They professed to be Puritans. They professed to be Huguenots. They professed to be Christian, but they had never been born again, just like we're living in today. Amen. But there were 600,000 Puritans, and then there were 400,000 Dutch Reformed people. Now, if you've ever studied anything about the Dutch Reformed, Andrew Murray was out of the Dutch Reformed Church. It was a total evangelistic. It had totally evangelized South Africa, that country you hear so much about. You know, I mean, Mandela. And listen, we've had 3 missionaries right there. We've got 4 there now in South Africa preaching to the blacks and getting them saved by the grace of God. But I'm telling you that Mandela's nothing in the world but a killer and a murderer. And that's exactly, he's been in prison. That's exactly where he belongs. And that harlot up there named Kennedy, old Nasty Kennedy. What's her name? What one? Jackson, yeah. God help me, I'm going to change my name. Amen. Amen. Jacqueline Kennedy. Amen. And let me tell you about that Kennedy family. They would run around with anybody if they get a vote out of it. Amen. But I'm just telling you, that there are some people. We have many, many, many black preachers in the country of Africa. You don't hear nothing out of them. They're not protesting nothing. They're trying to get their people saved. They're over there teaching their people the Bible. They're trying to build Bible institutes and evangelize their country and keep their people out of hell. That's what they're trying to do. Amen. All right. But I was bringing it home. I just got a little tipping about them over in South Africa this week. Now, how long has those people been in South Africa, Brother Wood? How long has them white people been in South Africa, Brother Wood? They've been there ever since you've been here, man. They've been there for 200 and something years they've been there. Amen? They've been there 200 something. And when they come in, there wasn't nobody in there. Wasn't nobody there. They came in. Just go get your history book and read it. Wasn't nobody there. And they built that land, brought a lot of those tribes and civilized them, and evangelized. And when Andrew Murray died, there was 101 Murrays in the business of training and teaching Sunday school and teaching Christian school and training people and getting them saved by the grace of God. 101. Amen. Now you just beat that. Andrew Murray, old Dutch reform. And that's what they are. They're old Dutch reform. So America had 400 times. That made up the 3 million people. Where's these 3 million people at, Brother Wood? They were all Scotch-Irish from the Church of England. They were all Puritans from England. And there was the 400,000 Dutch reform that came from Holland looking for a place to worship God. And they come to this land to worship God. That's why they came. Amen. That's the founding of this country. Now, I'm going to just show you something. In 1600, we got the father of our country. Who is the father of our country, preacher? Well, it's George Washington and Franklin and men like Madison and Morrison. And so I just took these 55 men and I lined their names up. And all my life, I've heard preachers tell me this week, I talked to them about it. They said, well, he was a deist and he believed this and he believed that. But I went to Mr. Washington's book and found out what Mr. Washington believed. Mr. Washington wrote his prayer every morning, Brother Bobby. And George Washington wrote his prayer out. And I read 3 of his prayers. One morning he got up to pray and he went in there and you said, well, I don't believe in writing your prayer out. If you'd hear yours, you'd probably write it out. Amen. But anyway, they started to, he read this prayer. He said, I come to you with no other merits except the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My great God and Father, I, George Washington, bow before you, asking you for wisdom to lead this army for the glory of God. One man said, I heard him pray for 3 hours, sweat running down his face, it valley forward. And then some modernist at him said, you know, he was a deist. He didn't believe in God. Really? Really, you're really smart. I mean, you're smarter than George Washington. One man asked George Washington's granddaughter, said, did your grandfather believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood atonement? She said, for you to say that my grandfather was not a Christian would be the same thing as to say that George Washington didn't love that flag in this country. She said, we never at Mount Vernon was ever allowed to play on the grounds on Sunday. She said, Sunday was set aside as a day of fasting and prayer for our nation. She said, every day of my grandfather's life is an old man. They would gather and read the Bible every Sunday. Except the preacher didn't come because of the snow. My grandfather took over the services. He was a deacon in the church. Well, you listen to these modernists. You think he's a gangster. Yes, sir. Well, he was a gentleman. One day a black slave come walking down the road and he said, good morning, Mr. Washington. Mr. Washington says, good morning, George. How are you doing? Sir. Then this big shot Englishman said, would you bow to a slave? He said, you think I'd let a slave be a better gentleman than I am? He said, I'm a gentleman. I'm a gentleman. Oh, yes. He was the father of your country. You say, he didn't chop down no cherry tree. You don't know nothing about it. He loved to sell out of a cherry tree. Amen?
Well, some of these politicians talk, they fell out. Amen? Amen. But he was the father of our country. But when they came in 1607, they landed at Jamestown. They landed on the Plymouth Rock in 1620. The Mayflower sailed in 1631. What are you saying, preacher? These men were men of morals. They were men of morals. Listen. George Washington, I got me a thing. I read it out of their army. He's speaking to the army, and he said, the
There'll be no drinking in this army.
There'll be no drinking in this army.
And don't nobody use God's name in vain in this army. That man said it was a right aid drink. I read his whole life story. And he said, as I walked through that army, I never one time in all the years that I followed that communal army ever heard a man use God's name in vain. We've come a long way, baby. That's right, we've come a long ways. As a politician, stand up and make fun of our Lord and our God and even our forefathers. Amen. But when they see, you've got to destroy a man's credibility until before you destroy that which he's built. I'd like to just say this, if you please. If this bunch in office today has got so much wisdom and power, why didn't they build what he built? Why did they have their Bay of Pigs while he whooped the whole English army? Is that? I mean, how come their daddy has to give them their money when George Washington took that Mount Vernon and built it himself and left his children a heritage? And even Robert E. Lee, who married his granddaughter, lived in Mount Vernon, one of the greatest men ever lived. Oh, yeah. And what Robert E. Lee died doing, preacher? He died running a preacher school, telling preachers there's nothing greater than winning men to Jesus Christ. He bowed his head and said, our father fell dead at the table. That's our fathers. He said, preacher, we've had a lot of turmoil in this country, a lot of mistakes. Oh, yeah. Greatest country in the world. I'll tell you one thing. I just come back from Germany, and I told Mark, I said, let's build a church here. He said, you can't build a church here because it wouldn't fit in with their plans here. We're not in a village. We're not doing, man, we're out in the country. And I said, well, Mark, can't you build? He said, listen, preacher. He said, in this county, every building has got to have a red roof on it. I said, do what? I'm too independent for that. I put a green one on that sucker. I mean, man, come, boy, I'll put a green one on. They wake up morning, they see a purple roof on it. That's right. That's right. I wouldn't put a pink one on that, but I'd put a purple one on that. That's right. George Washington and these men, they were men. They were fine men. They were gentlemen. Are you listening? And they were firm men by what they believed. Read Washington's life. I mean, he fought all over this country. I mean, he fought the Indians back and what have you. Preacher, they were men of morals. And they were also, let me just say, they were men of means. They wasn't mooching nobody out of nothing, man. I mean, these men were working men. They were working men. We'll get on down to it now. We're coming on down. You just sit there and buck your seatbelt. But I want to say this. They were highly intelligent men. Has anybody improved on the Constitution of the United States lately? Huh? I mean, you read what they wrote and find out if they were intelligent. Were they well-educated? Yes, some of them. Were they well-read? Preacher, just read about them. Just read about them. These men were well-read, well-educated, highly intelligent men. Nobody has ever improved on what they've done. This was the father of our country. I read Madison's life. He was the president. Madison said France could not stand our Constitution. He said the reason they couldn't stand our Constitution, they're too immoral. Well, sir. He said, you've got to have some morals to live on this Constitution, and that's the reason most people won't change it. And when you find a man who wants to change the Constitution, just check him out, and he'll be an immoral man. Amen? You find a group who wants to change it, they're immoral. Amen. I'd like to throw this in. This abortion bunch, they had a little thing about it. They had about 100,000 people come, and they took a picture and showed all over America, said 100,000 people come. And 600,000 well-dressed, well-groomed people went up against abortion, and it never was a picture taken in Washington. 600,000 people. I got the pictures and everything. I mean, the media is against what is right, but in that day and time, I looked up 300 and something incidences where the Bible was used 15 and 20 times in one edition of the newspaper every day in the times of Washington and those men. What was it, preacher? The state was never separated from the church of God. When they wrote that Constitution, they made that law that there'd be separation of church and state. The only reason that was put in there was that they would not pay the pastor's salary and the upkeep of the church anymore. That's the only separation they had. Listen, many of those men like Witherspoon who finally took over the church, the school in New Jersey,
Why, he had trained 9 of those men who were on that delegate to make the Constitution of the United States. He had impressed those men and encouraged those men, and he was there. He was a Presbyterian pastor. Ask him, can I preach a sermon before y'all draw it up? Ted Kennedy said, I believe that Jerry Falwell ought to get the ministry out of the White House. He didn't tell Jesse Jackson to get out of the White House. He was a rebel. Why didn't you tell him, Brother Wood? Because he's scared he won't get no vote. Amen. I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I mean, Ted Kennedy said, I believe we ought to separate child and state. Well, that's good. But why did he vote 6 months before to send an ambassador to Rome to the Pope? Hey, quit lying, man. Them Kennedys are the biggest bunch of liars that ever came out of hell. I'm telling you, they're liars. They're all liars. Amen. Are you a Democrat, Brother Wood, or a Republican? I ain't voted but one time, and I repented over that. Amen. 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 But I know a scoundrel when I see him. I don't know nothing about them Kennedys, but they can really swim. Amen. But it's a founding of our country. Amen. Christianity in our young country built colleges. Like Yale, built by the Presbyterians. Then Princeton, which came from the New Jersey, which was a New Jersey college, but it was turned into Princeton University, trained every preacher this land has ever known worth his salt. Are you listening to me today? The church built the university there in Chicago, built Baylor University, they built universities, they built colleges, they trained young men and women, they built hospitals, they built orphanages. This was Christianity. If you ever in your life saw a hospital, it says, built by the infidels. Have you ever saw one? Have you? You say yes or no. Have you ever seen one? Have you ever seen an orphan's home? And up on the top of it, it said, welcome here. All of us infidels built it for you. Have you? See, when a man's morals are bad, his ministry's bad. Man, you got that? You know what the infidel did? He slipped into college and said, I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm a rebel. He got him a seat there, and he taught his infidelism in that Baptist college. Then he took over the college, and us Baptists was too weak to do anything about it. Amen? All right. The father of our country, they were intelligent men. Then the founding of this country. I want you to notice something, please, and I want you to know before I say another word, I'm not a Calvinist. But all these men that came to this country had some Calvin views. And some of them views were Bible and some of them were not Bible. But these were Bible. When our founding fathers built this country, they believed that every man was totally depraved. The Bible teaches that, and I believe it. I believe a man is totally depraved. And so our forefathers draw up the Constitution with that in mind. That the president would be totally depraved unless he was saved by the grace of God. They believed that. And so what they did, they put him in power. They put the Senate and the Congress there to make sure he didn't have too much power. Because see, they had already lived under men who were kings and tyrants and lords, and they wanted nothing to do with it. So when they come to this country, they read about 8 books. One of them was Blackstone's book. One of them was Locke's book. And when they studied those books, they drew these laws up, intelligent men, with their children and their country in view. And they said, now, the president's going to have some checks. Then if the Senate gets too powerful, we'll fix the president with this power, he can check him. So the president can veto any bill. They did. They can veto any bill. And so that thing can really get in a mess, can't it? Why'd they do that, Brother Wood? Didn't want nobody to have too much power. Now, Brother Wood, why was there never a Catholic ever voted as the President of the United States until John Kennedy? Because in Washington, every one of those men said, we have run from popery. The Pope says, I am God speaking on earth. Whatever I speak, that's it. Is that correct?
If you're a Catholic here this morning, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just saying that's what the Pope said. And so Calvin said that any woman who washed the floor in the Vatican had as much authority to come to God in prayer to the Pope. And that's what our forefathers believed.
And so they believed that man was totally depraved. Now, listen right quickly. They believed in the priesthood of the believer. They believed in the priesthood of the believer, that every man was his own priest of God, and that he could pray to God and talk to God and walk with God, and that he had to be an individual, independent individual to function a society. And that's why that every one of you sit here. So I got my own mind. Because your forefathers put that in you. You wasn't born with that, honey. And some of these Texans, they're the worst in the world. I don't care if you're a Mexican. I don't care if you're a gringo. I don't care what you are. If you're born in the state of Texas, you can stand up and say, bless God, I'm my own man. Ain't nobody tell me what to do. You can work where you want to. You can live where you want to. And if you want to move in the morning, you can move in the morning. You can quit your job in the morning. You see, this is not like in Bulgaria. This is not like in Romania. There's men that have been on them jobs for years and they can't quit. But you and I can walk out. One of my uncles, they said, if you leave this job, we'll send you to war. He said, you send me wherever you want to, but I quit today. He quit. 6 weeks later, he's on a steamer headed to Manila to make the invasion. I said, Johnny, when you come back in the war, I said, Johnny, what are you thinking about? He said, I'd rather go to war. Then a man tell me what I got to do when I don't have to do nothing but die. Red-headed, freckled face, and mean as a snake. You what he wants to. Found in this country. You got it? I said they believed in church government. You said, Brother Jack, how did our forefathers come up with the president and the Senate? They just went down to the local church. That's the only government they had in the whole universe, was that local church. And every one of them congregations were independent. Nobody told those congregations what to do. Congregational church, Presbyterian church, America, they done exactly what they wanted to. Nobody told them what to do. They were all independent churches. So they had a deacon board, they had a stewardship board, and they had a pastor. They gave the pastor the authority, but if the pastor got out of hand, then the deacons could be tired and say, preacher, we've got to pray about this. The stewards would come in and say, I believe that costs too much. He didn't have absolute. And they built this government on the government of a local church in the community. It's the only thing they knew. What they know, preacher, they knew they'd come from England. They had a king. The king said, you're my servant. Did you ever see one of these Texans serving anybody? Crazy fool won't serve no more. One cowboy, he'd lean up against a tree rolling a bull darn cigarette. An Englishman drove up in his chair. He drove up in his little buggy and he said, is your master here? The cowboy said, he ain't been born yet. He got to say, he ain't been born yet, man. Ain't nobody mastered me. Is your Lord here? No. And even if he didn't understand, because that king's telling Englishmen what to do. This was our father's land. Our fathers came here and set this land up, and they believed in the church government. Then they believed God's laws are relevant to modern society. I said, God's law are relevant to modern society. That's exactly what George Wharton believed. That's exactly what all America believed, and believed it for hundreds of years, that God's laws. How'd you draw it up? You steal, where do you go? The jail. If you kill somebody, what do they do? Take your life. And 150 years later, 175 years later, man said, we're going to change that. Man used to kill a man. They took him in and tried him 3 days later. And the fifth, 6 days later, he had him up on a rope. Man took a little girl out and molested a little girl and assaulted that child. What do you do with him, Brother Wood? In my lifetime. Hold me. You believe in that, Brother Wood?
Yeah.
How come you believe in that? God said.
In the 9th chapter of Genesis, you said it's on the law. The 9th chapter of Genesis was before the law, and it said, if a man shed innocent blood, let his blood be shed. He said, I don't believe that. Tell David about it. He killed the giant, and I laughed about it. Amen. I said, the founding fathers, in the faith of our country, the founding fathers, they were independent people. But they believe that God's laws are relevant today. I shall not steal. I shall not kill.
But a man killed a policeman this week. Shot him down. No reason, man. Crack it, shot him down. Why? Why? Because he'd molested a little child. You put him in jail for 15 years. Done 13 months. He's back out. They hung him, that policeman, till he'll be alive.
I knew that policeman's granddaddy, and he was a policeman. And I said, Mister, he was a policeman. That bird never would have shot him. You'll understand what I mean after a while. And he wore his granddaddy's badge, but he didn't have his granddaddy's authority. Amen. Thank you, Brother Wood. I want you to show you the faith of our country. It's not Catholic. It was not Asian. It was people ruled. Now,
is it not strange to you that all in New England, that was a very successful country, an industrial country, and that country just, and while they were being industrial in the 16th and 17th century, what was going on in Texas? What religion was in Texas in 1700? You saw these Texans wasn't here. I said there were some people here, and there was religion here. The Catholic Church was here, and I can take you right out here to Lubbock, Texas, and show you where there's a guillotine there, where they hung three Indians because they run off. They was going to Christianize. And I hear people all the time saying, why do you brand cattle? That hurts them cattle so bad to put a mark on them. It does. I mean, it does. You'll burn your hiney with a burn iron. The first man ever, first thing ever branded in the States was branded in Los Angeles, California with three crosses. He was an Indian. He said, where'd you get that fish? I just read a little history. I wonder where the branding iron come from. And the church, the Catholic Church, was burning Indians where they didn't know who they were. Three crosses on them. If they run away, they put one up here. You see people going around tattooing them? You didn't have tattoo in them days. They fix you. The cold-hearted thing in the world is religion. Religion will make old women get on their knees and crawl. Christianity will say the loving Father loves you, and the blood of Jesus already took care of it. Get up. You don't have to crawl on your knees to get to God and get God to hear your prayer. The blood of Jesus take care of that. Blood of Jesus take care. Faith of our fathers. John Adams said, the Constitution was made only for moral and religious people, and it was wholly inadequate for the government of any other. He said that the Constitution of the United States was brought up for religious people and moral people. Did you ever notice what the queers think about the Constitution? You know, this always bothered me. You know, you go down to the death house, and I don't like no capital punishment, but it's there, I believe. And there'll be a bunch of people down there protesting capital punishment. And them same people will be down at the abortion clinic in the park. That's the same people. That always had me mixed up. They don't want you to kill the killer, but they want you to kill the baby. Of love, man, love. That always bothered me. And then the next booth, their friends are standing there hollering, ain't no God! Ain't no God! Let's change the Constitution. Now say hallelujah. I'm just preaching on our country. I thought we'd give our children something to think about. Amen. Some of you old folks have made up your mind, but we got some children here that we might help that this country is the greatest country in the world today. There ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing in the world like that. This man John Adams said you had to have a constitution. The Bible was not denied by anybody. I went through 55 of those men who run the Constitution, who drawed up the Constitution, and only three of those men that didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible and God. Those three men recognized the divine providence and said that there was a God and there was a providence, but they would not come out and say what they believed about God. All the rest of them said, there's a God in heaven who answers prayer. And the day they brought up the Constitution, one of these men stood up with a spoon and said, let's have a day of fasting before we do it.
And by about two votes, they voted him down. I said, there was faith in our country. There was faith in our country. You got that? Now, there's been fights in our country. There've been wars. Some of them been on this soil, and some of them been on German soil, and some of them been on French soil. Some have been in Holland, and some have been in Japan, and all islands of the sea. There's American boys buried everywhere. Down the bottom of the sea at Hawaii, one of our states of the Union now, down the bottom of that sea lays thousands and thousands of sailors who gave their life on that terrible day. There was fights. There was wars. Then there became an internal war. And the war was never over slavery. I don't care what you say. I don't care what nobody says. The book says everybody knew that you had the right to withdraw from the Union. President Lincoln voted in 1846. Connecticut said, we're going to withdraw from the Union. And he said they have the right to withdraw if they want to. And somehow or another, they bridged it up, and they didn't withdraw. But Lincoln voted they had the right to withdraw. Every man that withdrew from the Union, when Lincoln became president, thought that he had the right to withdraw. And so they had an internal fight. Whatever you think about it, it's a terrible war. And 500,000 men died fighting. I've read that thing. That thing astounded me that men would fight brother against brother. But again, I'm going to say this. They were independent-minded. It wasn't no little old politician leading these guys. You hear me? These men believe that's my home. This is my country. This is my farm. This is my land. And if you come on this land, I'm going to fight you. I don't care who you are. I'm an independent. And that's the way it is. And I'm an independent Baptist today. Amen. And I'm glad I don't belong to nothing but to this local church right here. This is I don't belong to no fellowship. I don't belong to nothing but Shady Acre Baptist Church. That's it. I can do that if I want to. You can join anything. You can join the Boy Scouts. You don't have to. There's been wars. There's been wickedness in government. But everybody believed. I checked every man to see if he believed this. Here's what they said. The government must be strong enough to restrain the evil impulses of the masses. The government must be strong enough to restrain the evil impulses of the masses is what crazy. They'll just burn down a building and demand that you build them another. Did they burn down a college? Convicts burn down the prison? How do you stop that, Brother Wood? That ain't my job. That's the government's job. But they took away the authority from the policeman. They took away the authority from this guy. Because maybe some of them did abuse it. Maybe some of them did abuse it. But because they abused it, you can't take away the authority of the men in authority. Somebody's got to be in authority. You said, law can't... Listen, the Bible is just as clear as a bell. The law is for the lawless. The law's not for me and you. We don't have to worry about the law. We're saved by the grace of God. We don't have to worry about the law. I'm not going to go out here and deliberately do nothing against God's law. I'm not going to try to break God's law. I'm not looking for a place to get out. I'm looking for a place to get in. Amen. But there is wickedness, and then there were weaknesses, if you please. We look in 1929, we see gangsterism on the streets. And the American government rose up and got J. Edgar Hoover and said, we want Al Capone and that whole bunch in jail. Now, how long did it take them to clean it up? About 3 years. I mean, 3 or 4 years. I mean, Hoover got mad. He put everybody in jail big enough to go to jail. I mean, he put them in jail. They said, people robbing trains. They robbed their last train in 1932. It was going from El Paso. And men rode up, and they had horses. And they rode up there and robbed that train. That's the last one they robbed. The next people saw them, it was all in that day. Well, they had 100 United States Marshals with rifles on that train. They stopped train robbing. But you know what Colombia can't do? They can't stop the drug traffic. And America can't stop the drug traffic. You know why they can't stop the drug traffic? Because the Democrats will do this or the Republicans will do that. And the Democrats said, well, we're not going to allot this money for them boats and so you don't have anybody to guard this. And the Republicans said, we're going to do this. We're not going to give the airplane. And so here it comes. the government has become weak, and it can't govern the masses.
And so whoever has the most votes, they get what they want.
But I'm just going to tell you something. That's a little revival fire burning, not of God doing anything, but there's a lot of Christians sick and tired. The 25% of the United States is sick and tired of feeding the other 75%. And some people say, give us more, give us more. They fix and give it to you, honey. My daddy gave it to me. I was 17 years old. He said, I'll give you the whole world. Daddy, go make all you can. So you got your last quarter here. Now that will put a little incentive into it. I was down here the other day, and a kid walked up to me, and boy, he started washing my window, you know, and everything. I ain't asking. I stopped at a red light. He's washing my window. He got him a rubber hose. He's about 7 years old. He climbed up on that car, and he was that car. And John goes, get out! I said, man, give the kid a dollar! I walked to my door the other day. Little black boy standing there. I said, I looked down there. I said, son, what are you doing? He said, tell him candy. I said, I'm too fat. But I said, I sure like to see where I hand him $2. I said, I'd like to see it working. He said, you don't want no candy? I said, I don't want no candy. I want you to have that too. He said, thank you. I said, don't thank me. I'm finding time with you. The what? I cut out. It's really strange. Now, I saw this. Now, Brother John's not here this morning. He's with someone. John, I seen a little girl. She's 5 years old, maybe five, I doubt it. And she had a little baby, and she was at the side the other day, and she's holding on to her, and a little brother, about 8 years old, selling gum in a red light. I said, buy it all, John, buy it all. Encourage them to go to work. You said, that sounds horrible. No, I bet you that little girl and boy grows up to be somebody. He said, I'm going to protect mine. I know if you protect him when he's 38, he'd be in there bed asleep. I'm going to give you the last thing. The faults of our country. When we go to the polls, 85% of American people go to the polls. They don't go to vote for their country. They go to vote to see what they're going to get. They said, Mr. Bush made a promise. He wasn't going to raise taxes. I know he's a liar, scoffer. Who cares? What did he say? Huh? Mr. Old Dukakis, he said he was going to do so and so. He can't even get his wife sober. What does he know what to do? She probably has to stay drunk to put up with him. Amen. The false of our country. You ought to vote for your country. Now, what you going to get out of it? Finally, you might wind up without it. You better vote for your country. There's a great ignorance moving across our land. Children are taught that the government's bad, and the police is bad, and the community is bad. Get all you can for nothing. I'm going to tell you, it's a bad policy to discuss your country in front of your children and tell them that flag ain't worth living for. There's some men right here in this room. They took their clothes off. They look like a road map. Scarred from the paws of war. I can look around and see them singing. I see them trampling out the vineyards of the glory of the Lord. I can see old Bush kind of straighten up in an old Marine doing now. I see him kind of straighten up every time that flag with the breeze hits it. And something will burn that flag. You burn all flags, won't you? You better go downtown. You better not do it on this 5 acres. This 5 acres belongs to us. As far as I'm concerned, this is the United States of America, this 5 acres. Amen. Thank you, Brother Wood. Ignorance. This country was a republic. It was not a democracy. Everywhere you've ever had a democracy, it failed. This country, and for the republic for which it stands. Not the democracy which it stands. What is a pure democracy? The mob rules. And
That's where we're at. Every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes. He said, I got just as much to say about this country they have. Amen. And you know, some poor dumb bailiff can't even spell his name, couldn't even keep his own checkbook balance, wants to check the whole world balance. Amen. I said it's ignorance. Then there's immorality. Tomorrow generated from the top to the bottom. I ain't even going to go into it. I ain't even going to say nothing about it. My wife told me she's going to be nice today. This is the 4th of July. But you say what you want to. So, man, I love that flag. It's my flag. I know. I'm under that right there. That's that blood-stained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God birthed me in this country. This is my country. If there had been a man had a right to say something bad about it, I got a right. I mean, I've had some bad things happen to me. But immorality has plagued our land. And it's accepted. It's accepted as the normal thing. It's not the normal thing. It's abnormal. To sin against your body and sin against your God and sin against your mama and daddy and sin against your church, it is not normal. It is abnormal. Amen. It's abnormal. Please let me go on. We're infiltrated by all the isms of our day. We're infiltrated by every ism known to man. I mean, we got modernism, we got communism, we got the Islamism, we got every kind of ism you can imagine. Jesus Christ said, read his prayer. There's prayer right there. Read it. He read that prayer and he scratched his head. I said, where in the world did you get that? I said, there it is in the book. He said, who wrote the book? I said, George Washington. Name of the little book is Sacrifice and Altar. 59 prayers done by the President of the United States. Every one of his prayers was wrote out. Every one of them glorifies God, talks about the blood, and sings Amazing Grace. Every one of them. And he said, every day, I prepared me a prayer at night that I'd pray in the morning and I'd pray at night in the sermon. Why'd they prepare their prayers? Why don't you prepare yours? Spurgeon give men a week and 2 weeks advance notice that they're going to pray, where they can prepare their heart to pray, prepare their mind to pray. They come into the service and they didn't just call on them, they prayed. And Spurgeon said, now don't never pray over 20 minutes. Hear that? 20 minutes. Most preachers don't preach 10. 20 minutes. Men would bow their head and take that big mass of people to the very throne of God. When you go home today, pray for your country. Pray for some of the wicked people in the White House. That God will save some of them. Do something in this land to raise the moral standard of our country for the glory of God. You don't say, I don't ever believe that happened. You probably won't. That's what some people told them people over in Czechoslovakia. Said, ain't no use you praying? Communism has built a wall. Today, the wall ain't there. How come it ain't there? They prayed it up. I asked them why it wasn't there, and they said, we prayed it down. We prayed the doors open, now they come. Hey, and we tell everybody, God can do anything but send a revival. But save a man. I don't believe God's going to do it. As long as you believe that, he won't. If you ever just a bunch of people believing we'll do something, strange things about God. As your faith is, so it is. Let's pray. All I want to say this morning is God bless America. You say, why do you want to say God bless America, Brother Wood? Because through the years, the thousands have been saved. The missionaries that have went to the foreign fields of all over the world, some of them were bad, some of them were good. Thank God for the good ones. Thank God for the soldiers of the cross who went, won men to Christ and trained men. And sent native evangelists through the jungles of China and Japan and everywhere else. Thank God for the good ones. Thank God for our country, where we had liberty and freedom to come home and raise the money and send it back into those lands and raise Bibles and send them back there and raise men and women and send them back in them lands. Thank God for our country today. I want to praise God. Just like the Jew thanks God for his land, you and I
ought to thank God for our land. Not excuse nothing that's wrong, but thank God for everything that's right. I wonder today if you came, you've never known the Savior, you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ in a full pardon of sin. You say, Brother Wood, today in the Sunday school I was here, and I heard him preach the Word of God. And Brother Wood, you've talked about America, and I announced it ahead of time. Everybody knew what I was going to do today. I don't never do this, but I did it today. Never have done it before that I remember, but I did it today. Thank God for my land. That I can stand here this morning and preach to you and tell you that there's free pardon of sin. That Jesus will take you if you'll come repent of your sin. Asking Jesus Christ into your heart, He'll save you today. Our Father and our God, we confess to you today that Thy amazing grace is wonderful. Thank you for our land. Thank you for our flag. Thank you for our forefathers who stood before us and, Lord, fought over this land. They're buried. Lord, I've been to the great cemeteries of all the land from Washington all the way south and saw where men were buried who fought for their country. And I thank God for that. I stood yonder in Holland here a good while back and looked at old Flanders Field where men were buried who died on that soil, Lord, fighting for this country. Our God, I thank you for that. I don't take it for granted. I don't take nothing for granted. But I thank God one day on a hill called Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ died for me. And I want to thank you, Father, today for my Savior. My Savior. I can raise His flag this morning. I can wave that blood-stained flag and say, sinner, come. He'll save all that will come unto Him. God speak in this service. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Our fathers left the land of the kings and the tyrants, the rulers that had to bow down and couldn't own nothing. They came to this land. Since they were totally depraved, and since they were, many of them were unsaved men, but just still with a vision, why would we want to go back to that confusion that they had? This world hates God. My wife said to me, maybe last night or night before last, she said, would you mind if I read you this? And she read me something from a secular man. And this secular man said in the last couple of years that there had been 7 movies made against religion and against God and against the Bible, against the church. And he said that all 7 of those religions, my wife read it to me, said all 7 of those religious films were a total disaster at the box. They never paid for themselves. They lost millions and millions of dollars. Said that was temptation of Christ, that it was a total flop at the box office. And this man said, why hasn't Hollywood learned anything? Don't he know that American people will not take this? The American people will not accept it. But I said to myself, and he said they made one film. She told me the name. I forget it. They told about a film about a man who was a drunken singer, country western singer, and said that got his life off in a wreck, and he got saved and got called to preach and made a wonderful life. And they said that film was a great success at the box. And this man said, why can't Hollywood learn that the American people will not take anything against their God? And you know, before I was saved, Brother Bobby, I wasn't saved. Laying in the jail tank. If you'd have told me the Bible wasn't the truth, but I had a big fruit jar hid and I'd hit you with that fruit jar. I believed in God. I believed in the Bible. Been instilled in me all my... And that's the way most of you... You that are not even saved, there's something instilled in you. There's a God in heaven. And every soldier, boy, just on the field, he'll look back and write a letter and say, Mama, pray for me. I don't care what war he's in. That's just as normal as can be. The unsaved will send a thing down to the church and say, pray for my boys. And they'll put on. And you know, here a while back, I was in Washington, Brother Bobby, and I walked up and I was looking for that anger sign boy's name. Remember when he was killed? And I looked up, and as that anger thought, that sign boy's name was that we'd dealt with so many times, and there his name was, he's killed in Vietnam. I saw his name back. I found his name. Anger Stein. It sounds like that you got mad, didn't you? Anger Stein. When you see those things, to me, that just moves my heart more. Men paid a supreme sacrifice for free land. Thank God for this country today. How many of you men were in the service? Raise your hand. Now look at that. Raise your hand. Amen. How long was you in, Louis? 4 years. Louis, let me ask you a question. You're not a native of this country. You were born in Columbia. But Louis, when they played that march and that flag come by, did it do something to you, Louis? And you don't even, you wasn't even born. Isn't that funny? But that flag come by. I mean, when I was in the military, my shirt would run down my back like a window shade. They'd get the plane that time. And I said, man, this is my country. They told MacArthur one time, he said, them Americans won't fight. Mac said, have you ever read any history? Just give them a lieutenant to follow them and you'll find out. Hitler told Beckersmith, his head general, he said, you don't have to worry about them English-speaking people. They won't fight. And that general turned around and said, sir, if you ever heard of them losing a war? He said, if you jump on them English-speaking people, you have sinned. He said, you do know that they come from us. John Thompson said to him, Limey's talk funny, but said they fight hard. Yes, sir. English speaking people. God bless America. The home of the brave. Thank God for it. Let's bow our heads. Thank God for these that came. It was dealt with here this morning by their precious soul. Father, we commit this all to thee, and I pray you speak to our children. I pray our children never forget. And one day they went to church and somebody talked good about their country. Waved the flag and saluted the flag and sang, God bless America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Lord, this is the land of the free. We're free men today. We're independent, free men. Worship God as we please, work where we please, or live where we please. We thank you for that. And Lord God, bless us today as we go now. In Jesus' name, amen.